Good morning and welcome once again to In Focus. I'm John Sims, and joining us this morning is she or somebody from the Literacy Council does right about this time every year, and we'll tell you why in a minute. Nancy Crawford, Executive Director of the Literacy Council of Tyler. Good morning, Nancy. Great to have you with us as always.
Thank you, John. It's good to be here.
Don't forget, In Focus is available online. Just go to ktbb.com/. In Focus, and In Focus is uploaded to our website by the day after the show airs. Nancy, the Literacy Council of Tyler has existed since 1990. Hard to believe, 29 years. And you've been the executive director for a good while now. How long?
For the 23 of them. The first 6 years I was program director, and then I became ED, and I've been the executive director ever since. I can't seem to get enough.
No, apparently you cannot. But you've been with the Literacy Council from the get-go.
From the get-go, that's
so
correct.
What better person to ask about the history and mission and purpose of the Literacy Council of Tyler? We also want to remind everybody today that we do this show around this time every year because of the big corporate spelling bee coming up on August 6th. So hold that thought, and we'll get to that in some pretty good detail in just a few minutes here. But basically, you began in 1990 as an adult basic literacy program, and how have things changed and evolved over the last 29 years?
Oh, my goodness.
Years? Oh,
and,
your goodness.
In 1990, we had didn't know what we were doing. We were learning as we went, which was fine. That works in many situations. We had 30 students that year. I had about five volunteers. We were looking at curriculum, trying to figure it out. All we were doing, trying to help adults improve their reading who were struggling with reading. Now we serve 2,000 students a year, and we have far more programs than just basic reading. So there's been a lot of changes throughout that time.
No doubt. You began to offer English as a second language,
right,
and a basic literacy program early in the game. Mm-hmm. All this happened. And now tell us about the just in thumbnail form about the current programs you have. I know you have three main programs and about four other ones.
Yeah, our three core programs are very important to us. They are basic literacy for any adult, whether they have a high school diploma or not, who they're struggling with reading and writing and math for whatever reason. And frequently, if they're working, it is creating problems at work. So that's one program. It's actually our smallest program. Our second largest program is GED for adults who did not complete high school. And those adults come to us anywhere from a fourth grade to an eighth grade reading level, and they want to get their high school diploma or their GED, which is an alternative to that.
Mm-hmm. General educational development is the current term for that, by the way.
That is correct.
Yeah.
And then our biggest program, 44% of what we do, is English as a second language for adults whose first language is not English. And those programs are the basis of everything else we do. We have transition programs that we started about 6 years ago. I love them. It takes the student to the next step, to college, or on to workforce certification. But if we don't keep our core program strong, I don't have a pool to work from to help move them to the next step.
Mm-hmm.
And the Spelling Bee helps support core programs.
Okay. The Adult Basic Ed Program. Let's start with that and just maybe go into a little bit more detail about how that works. And along the way, let's let folks know how they can enroll in these programs as well.
Okay. Enrollment's very simple. Can I say my number online? I never know what all the rules are. Are you going to wait to the end?
Your number.
My phone number.
Oh, certainly.
Okay.
That's one of the pieces of contact information we always give out. So go ahead. Sure.
903-533-0330.
Mm-hmm.
All a person has to do is call, and it won't matter who they talk to. We actually have it set up. We don't want someone calling saying, I need to talk to so-and-so, because we don't want them to have to wait for an answer.
Uh-huh.
So whoever answers the phone, all they have to do is say, I'm having trouble reading, or I need to get my high school equivalency, or English is not my first language and I'm struggling with that, and we do have bilingual help at the office. That's it. It's probably the simplest thing you can do. The hard part is at all the work you have to do once you get into class.
Yeah.
And then we'll go through an enrollment process with that person and get them in class as soon as we can. It does take anywhere from 2 to 6 weeks to get in class. Our classes stay full all the time, and we're able to move people in as other people move out because they've accomplished their goals. So the person who's struggling with reading only needs to call and just tell the person who answers the phone. We'll keep all their information confidential, that they're struggling with reading and they need some help. That's all they have to say, and we can take it from there.
Okay, and so we're talking basically for the moment about adult basic education.
Right.
Let's move on to your largest program, English as a Second Language. What are the steps to get enrolled in that, and what are people going to be looking at once they get into class?
Steps are the same. The only difference is that they might not be able to tell us in English that they need help with their English, but that's okay. We have staff there that can help with that. And we go through the same process, an enrollment process, an assessment process, figuring out where they are. Most adults have better skills than they think they do. That seems to be the nature of the beast, is they all think they're just stupid, which is not even close to
being true.
It's not even close to being true. And once we get them assessed, and then we put them in class. Again, another 2 to 6 week waiting period. By the way, we have computer labs. We don't make them go home for 2 to 6 weeks.
Right.
We have computer labs where that are staff, where people can work with them, where they can work on their skills while they're waiting to get into class. And then they're in class. And those class, our students spend about 6 hours a week in class. Might be 2 mornings, might be 2 evenings. Usually that's how it runs. And then they hopefully spend time, and most of them do, outside of class, studying what they've been learning in class. And if they'll do that, their progress will be much faster.
And this is for all your programs, right?
All of them, really.
Okay, sure, yeah.
Kind of the same format.
Mm-hmm. Talking to Nancy Crawford, Executive Director of the Literacy Council of Tyler, I'm John Sims. This is In Focus. Welcome if you're just tuning in. And the final big one, GED prep, General Educational Development. What are we looking at there? I know a lot of the same things as far as getting enrolled and the time commitment and everything else, but what are some of the specifics about that?
Well, most of that instruction is done in a classroom setting. I did forget to say that on basic literacy, most of that's done one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
But GED is done in a classroom setting. There's a lot of group work because we have learned the power of group work with adults. Very empowering to them. The teacher's more of a facilitator, really, than a teacher. And they're just working on whatever skills, whether it's sentence structure or basic geometry, we want them to get past that test. And if they can pass that test, then they'll be able to retain a job, get a job, go on to other training.
Mm-hmm. Some of the other things that you offer under the programs heading on the website, college prep, dual enrollment, family literacy, Bill's Bookshelf. Let's go into those in kind of thumbnail form in a moment. But again, the contact information, that phone number, which is really your lifeline for all of this, 903-533-0330, office hours 9 a.m. to 8 p.m., Monday through Thursday. You stay open late for people who can't make it during the regular workday.
Yep.
Physical address is 1530 Loop 323 South Southwest Room 120. That's the TJC West Campus.
Right.
And the website, lcotyler.org, www.lcotyler.org. And you have Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Pinterest as far as the social media aspect is concerned. College prep, dual enrollment, family literacy, Bill's Bookshelf. If we can just go through each of those briefly, since they're not your major programs, but again, they might be critically important to the populations that they serve.
College prep goes back 9 years when we started looking at how our GED graduates, how the ones that graduated were doing on next steps. And we actually called Tyler Junior College, and they have a research department, and that research department revealed to us that if a GED graduate came to TJC, only about 23% of them completed a semester,
mm-hmm.
and only 4% of them got some sort of degree. We were very disturbed by that.
Yeah.
And so were they. TJC worked very closely with us, and we set up a program where we give intense instruction. You get your GED, then we'll put you through a 7-week program where you get intensive instruction to improve your skills even further so you can be college ready. And that's important, but equally important in our college prep program is helping them understand how college works. 90% of the people that go through that program, they're the first member of their family ever to go to college, and they have no idea how what credit hours are, what financial aid is, how it works, what's expected of them. They are shocked to find out that their instructors prefer that they ask them questions and email them instead of, because they still see the teacher as this person up here on a podium, on a stage, higher than them, and they have to learn that instructor cares about them and wants to hear from them if they're not understanding something.
Very interesting and very important point. Dual enrollment, what are we looking at there?
Okay, dual enrollment we've been doing 6 years, also an exciting program, and we did that by partnering with Texas Workforce Commission, who put their money where their mouth was, which I was very pleased to see. And so a student of ours right now, ESL or GED, can be in that program and at the same time be taking, let's say, phlebotomy.
Ah, okay.
And ideally, as simultaneously as you can, that's never perfect, they'll finish our program with a GED and a phlebotomy certification, and they can go to work. We're doing 150 of those students right now a year, and they are going to work. And it's very exciting to us. And Texas Workforce Commission pays for the training. They pay for the phlebotomy course. They pay for the auto technician course. They pay for the welding course. So exciting program. And we could do more of that. Our limitation there is resources and just how much they'll give us to pay for that. But a lot of people are going to work as a result of that program. Mm-hmm.
Okay, Nancy Crawford, Executive Director of the Literacy Council of Tyler, our guest this morning on In Focus. I'm John Sims. And we rounded out talking family literacy. That brings the adults and the kids together into a common setting, I believe.
Yeah, I love that program. And unfortunately, it's sort of gone out of vogue nationwide. It's an expensive program to do. And for a long time, particularly while Barbara Bush was living and promoting literacy, those programs stayed strong. We've been able to keep ours, but it's been a struggle finding funding for it. And it is this. Adults are in class. In our case, 16 adults are in class learning to speak English, and their 16 children are also in class. They're in a quality preschool, and they are learning to speak English. And every single week, without fail, the adults and the children are brought together to share literacy together. The moms and or dads are taught how to read books in English to their children. Those kids are going on to Douglas Elementary and other schools and having zero problems. They don't even need to go to bilingual classes a lot of the times because they spend anywhere from 2 to 4 years in that program learning English. And their parents are doing the same.
Mm-hmm. And last but not least, under programs, good old Bill's Bookshelf, still
Bill's
alive and kicking.
It is. It was. It's after a volunteer for that worked for us, who we loved and we miss, and Bill worked even after he was diagnosed with cancer. He just kept coming up there and tutoring. So when we lost him, a lot of his friends gave us money, and we used that money to develop Bill's Bookshelf, where we put gently used children's books. We always need gently used children's books in primary locations, such as, for example, let's use Bethesda. If a child, or the WIC office, that's another good example. If a child goes into those offices with their parents, there weren't any books, any children's books for them to look at.
Mm-hmm.
And now there is, and not only that, but they are allowed to take one home with them every single visit. So they are building home libraries. We're replenishing those bookshelves all we can, and we do that strictly from donations of people.
Mm-hmm. And for the uninitiated, Bethesda and WIC, well-known to a lot of people, but we're talking about a couple of very highly regarded local health and wellness programs for low-income
people.
Exactly. Yeah. Speaking of low-income, no cost to anybody for any of this. It's all funded through donations and grants.
That's correct. Donations and grants. That's correct.
And fundraisers like
the spelling bee. Important.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
All right. So if you don't have enough money, if you think you don't have enough money, you do. Go ahead and call and sign up. And if you're interested in any of this, or if you want to refer a friend, once again, Literacy Council of Tyler, 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. are the office hours, Monday through Thursday, closed Friday. Phone numbers, 903-533-0330. And you're on the TJC West Campus. Online access is lcotyler.org. And you can go through Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Pinterest as well. And we talked about a couple couple of times here, the TJC West Campus. You actually have several locations around East Texas. Douglas Elementary and the Family Learning Center, which is on the Douglas campus, even though it's not officially part of Douglas, is another one of your facilities. Mm-hmm. First Baptist Church of Tyler, the Lindale Library, mm-hmm. Mineola Methodist Church, Rose Heights Church, TJC West Campus, of course, Trinity Lutheran Church, and a number of others. But your services are not restricted to Tyler. And
through our government grants, we are required to also provide services in Wood and Cherokee County. We have three counties we're covering with those particular funding sources.
Mm-hmm. That puts it in a much clearer light, and people from all around the area can come. I mean, you don't have to live in Cherokee, Wood, or Smith County. If you're nearby, you can come and take advantage of those services.
We have people coming from Cherokee County to Smith County. And so it just depends on their situation. They might work in Smith County. There's no requirement about where you live.
Right. Another thing I want to talk about is how highly regarded your program is. You have been recognized by the Texas Education Agency, Tyler Junior College. You are and have been for some time a model program under the auspices of the Texas Education Agency. Just a little bit more about that. Some of the bells and whistles that have been bestowed on you,
It was a long time coming. It's just nothing more than really passionately wanting to do this and wanting to commit the time and the effort to learn how to do it right. We feel very confident about knowing what we're doing. I would like to say that on the air. We know how to help you improve your reading. We know how to help you as an adult get your GED or learn to speak English. We didn't know that automatically. We worked at it and we learned how. And those efforts have paid off, and so we have been recognized. We appreciate that. Everybody likes to be recognized, but that's not nearly as important to us as the recognition we get from our students when they succeed. That's what we want to do.
That is the bottom line right there. Let's get into some statistics here, just so folks will know what you're dealing with on a day-in, day-out basis at the Literacy Council. And I'll shout a couple of them out right off the top. 44 million American adults cannot fill out an application, read a food label, or read a simple story to a child. 61% of adults in Texas read at or below the eighth grade reading level. And that is why I understand you tell me that you're serving a lot of people, you stay busy all the time, you're enrolling 2,000 students per year, but you're still looking for more because you know the need is out there and a lot of folks aren't taking advantage of
it. Yes, we do know people aren't taking advantage of it. I hope this falls on the ears of somebody who needs it, or they know somebody who needs the program. But 61%, and I know that's hard for people to believe, and I'd be glad to discuss that with somebody privately if they want to. Readers don't want to believe that. There's a reading world and there's a non-reading world. There's two different worlds in Texas and in Smith County. And the reading world doesn't want to believe that there's this non-reading world. But I can prove to you there is. And it's keeps us down. It causes social services to be drained. It reduces our tax base. It's very important to our economy and to our quality of life to provide services to adults.
And on the upside, children of adults who do participate in literacy programs, and this is all on the website too, improve their grades and test scores, improve their reading skills, less likely to drop out of school. And as you just mentioned, the data has implications in the workforce, in health systems, in school reform. You're basically building stronger communities and stronger individuals and stronger families by offering
John,
services.
John, I come from an education background. I taught fourth grade and second grade.
Yeah.
And I taught at a low-income school, so I met parents like the ones I'm dealing with now. And so now I'm known for saying if a community says they care about education and they don't provide adult education, they're kind of being hypocritical. You really can't care about all of education unless you have that slice in the pie. It's very, very important, particularly in terms of how children are impacted.
Truer words never spoken, and spoken by Nancy Crawford, the Executive Director of the Literacy Council of Tyler, our guest this morning on In Focus. I'm John Sims. The importance of volunteers. If you want to grow your program, you just are going to need more people to take some of the load off the folks who are already busy doing the work they're already doing.
Yeah, and we have so many students who actually need some one-on-one attention, and of course, I don't have enough staff to provide that to everyone. So that's where our volunteers really come into play. We'll train them We'll work with them. We'll provide ongoing training. I have a great volunteer coordinator or director of volunteers named Ashley Green, and she will support you every step of the way. It's very rewarding. I will say this. Sometimes it's hard for us to recruit volunteers. Everybody's busy. Mm-hmm. But when we get them, they don't leave. So that tells me that once they experience working with a student, they find it rewarding enough to stay. Mm-hmm. And that's what I would like people to hear. It's very rewarding to see the light bulbs go off in the eyes of a student.
Sure thing. And if you want to volunteer, pretty much the same MO as if you want to be involved in one of the programs. Just make that phone call, 903-533-0330. If it helps you, you can go to the website, lcotyler.org. And there's also Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Pinterest to play around with. I guess take your pick among the social media donations, and we're working our way towards our keynote topic of the day. Your donations you accept anytime, all the time.
Yeah.
Write a check, go online. It's easy to donate online.
It is.
And you're a United Way agency
That's
as well.
That's correct.
So
that
the money's coming in, but you can always use more.
Yep.
And certainly welcome any and all donations. Yeah. Now, the spelling bee, the corporate spelling bee, let's get the basics of that first, coming up real soon.
You know, we wanted a annual event that also raised money. And we learned about spelling bees in other parts of the country, and we thought, how perfect that would be. It's an adult spelling bee. I need to say that first thing, because everybody still, if you've not ever been, it's common to think that it's children. No, these are adults. And some of these adults study and do really well. Some of them just get up there and guess, and that makes it hilarious, and we enjoy that part of it also. We dress up in costumes. We have a theme. But bottom line is we're raising money for at least 90 students at that event. And we not only would love sponsorships and teams, and we're doing pretty well with that right now, but just attendance, you won't regret it. Again, it's kind of like my volunteers, John. Sometimes it's hard to recruit them, and sometimes it's hard for me to talk somebody in to come to this adult spelling bee. Well, when they do come, they keep coming back.
Mm-hmm.
It's hilarious, and people tell me all the time that it's the best fundraising event in town in terms of fun.
Yeah.
So, love to see people there.
The theme this year is board games.
That's correct.
So people are dressing up like Clue and Monopoly and
Operation Candyland.
My gosh.
Just about everything you can think of. It'll be hilarious.
Uh-huh.
I promise you a good time.
Okay, thank you. We'll take you up on that. Your goal is $60,000. You've met it, but you can always use more.
Right,
there's
absolutely.
Never a point where you say we don't need any more money or any more volunteers or any more people to participate in our programs. As we speak this morning, you have about 11 or 12 teams signed up, but you say you will take more, and you do want people to just come and watch and eat.
Right.
And it is a lunch and
it's
enjoy.
That crosswalk, right.
And you want sponsors too.
Right.
So certainly 903-533-0330. If you go to the website, you can navigate very easily to the more information piece. And Zoe Lawhorn, who has been working for you for some time now, is the person you're going to be talking to. And I can guarantee you a big, bright-eyed smile from Zoe. She'll be glad to work with you. Zoe's been on the show before working for other agencies, long-time participant in the community. And she's the one that you'll end up talking to if you want to learn more about the spelling bee. And officially, the fun and games start at 11:30, but get there by 11 or you're going
to... Absolutely. I might need to go correct that on the website.
Yeah.
You need to get there at 11, go through the line, have a seat, get adjusted, because we really start everything at 11:30. You don't want to be in the food line when that happens.
Yeah, that'll take all the fun away from it. So basically 11 to 1.
11 to 1.
Green
we'll
Acres
be there.
Crosswalk Conference Center, August 6th. And $40 per ticket, by the way, if you just want to come and watch. I have some interesting people involved with this. The pronouncer is Mike Starr. Mm-hmm. He's a longtime lawyer.
Founding board member of the Literacy Council.
Founding board member of the Literacy Council.
Yep.
The judges, County Judge Nathaniel Moran, District Attorney Jacob Putman, and United Way President Nan Moore, who has an interesting history of her own. She was your predecessor.
She was.
As the
She was my boss.
Executive director
years.
Of the Literacy Council. So
great lady.
You've just got everything lined up here, and again, we'll just kind of run through this one more time. August 6th at 11 a.m. at Green Acres Crosswalk Conference Center under the theme of board games. It is the Literacy Council Corporate Spelling Bee. It's the only fundraising event that you have on a year-in, year-out basis, so you really push it hard. And you tell us that this will serve 90 students. Mm-hmm. The money that you make from this event alone will serve 90 students any of your programs or just one specific program?
Any of the programs.
Any of the programs.
Our programs are, well, any of the core programs of basic literacy, ESL, or GED. All of those are $664 per student per year.
Very good. And we'll kind of review that towards the end of the show. We've covered probably most of the territory that we want to cover, but there are some other things that we can talk about. I think I want to go into the statistics a little bit more just to kind of drive home the need that you're in there working to serve on a day-in, day-out basis. About 4 million Texas adults mm-hmm. are in need of adult basic education. Texas currently has the second lowest percentage of high school graduates in the nation. 50% of the chronically unemployed are not functionally literate, which I think means what we talked about before, not being able to fill on an application, read a food label, read a simple story to a child. Those of us who were privileged enough to have a mom or dad who read us simple stories as children probably can't even relate to that, but it's mm-hmm. true, it's out there, and that's what you are all about. And again, just to reiterate, children of adults who participate in literacy programs are just a whole lot better off.
To me, that's the most compelling statistic, and it's been true since I got into this work, and it's been revisited and researched multiple times, and still it always comes up that the most significant indicator of a child's success in school is the reading level of their primary caregiver, not their preschool teacher, but the person they're living with mm-hmm. who's giving them care day after day.
Mm-hmm. And you've heard teachers and principals.
They all say it
mm-hmm. has to begin mm-hmm. at home, and you're helping mm-hmm. it begin at home in just the right way and have been doing it since 1990. Now, about 4 million Texas adults are in need of adult basic education. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you have any statistics on how many of them don't even think about it or don't know that they need it.
I know how many get served, and that's 25%, 1 million.
Yeah. So here we are getting the word out, and it occurs to me, we've talked about Douglas Elementary Schools, some of the local churches, TJC, libraries. I know that you have worked with PATH off and on over the years. How important do you think it is for you to maintain these partnerships and get the word out through the churches, through the nonprofits, through other agencies like WIC and Bethesda, for example, that people are involved with? And
that's how we grew. I said, the first year we were 30 students. And we knew the need was much larger than that. And that's really the strategy we used. We started working and collaborating with other nonprofits and other agencies. And that's how we found students and found partners who have been very helpful to us.
Mm-hmm. East Texas Human Needs Network with Christina Folsom, I know, has been a key player in a lot of this. So that's very, very important. And you're really, and honestly, I know you're just going to have to keep beating the bushes, but thank heaven for these other agencies that work with you to get the word out. Mm-hmm. And population of Tyler and East Texas is going to grow, so the mm-hmm. needs are going to continue to grow.
That's correct.
As well. Crunching a few numbers here, I see on the website, even though you're rated in the highest service category, you provide your services for about $664 per student per year, while the national average is over $814 per student mm-hmm. per year. So you want and need those donations, and you need people to be in the corporate spelling bee, but it's a bargain. Mm-hmm. People are funding an agency that, from what I gather from this, is responsible and just is able to do all of these things at a much lower rate than on a nationwide
basis. That's really important to us, and we really take a lot of pride in being financially responsible. Another reason we keep our costs down is because of 250 volunteers that help provide mm-hmm. the services.
Mm-hmm. And you're happy to have more, and you're happy to have more money.
Oh, yeah, I'll take lots more.
And again, with maybe a little over a minute left in the show, let's kind of get back to that keynote event and review it for anybody who might have missed it the first go-round. You have your corporate spelling bee coming up Tuesday, August 6th. Be there at 11 a.m., Green Acres Crosswalk Conference Center. The activities start at 11:30, but you want to get there about that extra half hour early just to get a good head start on everything. Yeah, still looking for sponsors, still looking for teams, and if you just want to go and watch and laugh and have fun and enjoy great food, it's $40 per ticket.
Goes to a good cause.
It goes for a good cause, and compared to a lot of things that people spend money on, it's a bargain at any price.
I think it's a bargain. Absolutely.
Yeah. Again, any information about that or anything else having to do with the Literacy Council, 903-533-0330, and you're located on the TJC, headquartered on the TJC West Campus, and the website is www.lcotyler.org. Well, we did it. We've managed to use up the entire show, but thanks for the great information. Nancy Crawford, Executive Director of the Literacy Council of Tyler, always a pleasure.
Thank you, John. I appreciate it very much, and I can keep doing this every year as long as you'll just remind me.
We probably will. Thanks, Nancy. I'm John Sims. Thank you for joining us. See you again next week on In Focus.